at the height of the Cold War, addressed this same university on the subject of peace. The Berlin Wall had just been built. The Soviet Union had tested the most powerful weapons ever developed. China was on the verge of acquiring a nuclear bomb.
A trade trip to China, financial trade begins. Now the walls come down in Berlin. Never fear to negotiate with a stranger. A stranger may keep you out of danger. The Iran deal we got is a real deal. No longer dealing in weapons grade plutonium. And the deal removes centrifuges and uranium. You know the Iran deal we got is a real deal. We got a deal, you know the 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 deal. So the ice thaws out in Cuba, and the TPP breaks down trade barriers. But never fear to negotiate with a stranger. A stranger may keep you out of danger. The Iran deal we got is a real deal. No more building heavy water reactors. No more burden IAEA inspectors. Transparency measures in place in all sectors. We got a deal, you know the deal. 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 We got a deal, you know the deal.
When the Bush administration took office, Iran had no centrifuges. The machines necessary to produce material for a bomb that were spinning to enrich uranium. But despite repeated warnings from the United States government, by the time I took office, Iran had installed several thousand centrifuges and showed no inclination to slow, much less halt, its program. Even before taking office, I made clear that Iran would not be allowed to acquire a nuclear weapon on my watch. Iran agreed the international community to an interim deal. A deal that rolled back Iran's stockpile of near 20% enriched uranium and froze the progress of its program since the P5+1. The United States, China, Russia, United Kingdom, Germany, France, and the European Union could negotiate a comprehensive deal without the fear that Iran might be stalling for time. When the interim deal was announced, critics, the same critics we're hearing from now, called it a historic mistake. They insisted Iran would ignore its obligations. They warned that sanctions would unravel. They warned that Iran would receive a windfall to support terrorism. The critics were wrong. Progress of Iran's nuclear program was halted for the first time in a decade. Its stockpile of dangerous materials was reduced. The deployment of its advanced centrifuges was stopped. Inspections did increase. There was no flood of money into Iran. And the architecture of the international sanctions remained in place. The interim deal worked so well that the same people who criticized it so fiercely now cite it as an excuse not to support the broader accord. Despite the criticism, we moved ahead to negotiate a more lasting, comprehensive deal. Our diplomats, led by Secretary of State John Kerry, kept our coalition united. Our nuclear experts, including one of the best in the world, Secretary of Energy Ernie Moniz, worked tirelessly on the technical details. In July, we reached a comprehensive plan of action that meets our objectives. Under its terms, Iran is never allowed to build a nuclear weapon. And while Iran, like any party to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, is allowed to access peaceful nuclear energy, the agreement strictly defines the manner in which its nuclear program can proceed, ensuring that all pathways to a bomb are cut off. Here's how. Under this deal, Iran cannot acquire the plutonium needed for a bomb. The core of its heavy water reactor at Iraq will be pulled out, filled with concrete, and replaced one with one that will not produce plutonium for a weapon. The spent fuel from that reactor will be shipped out of the country, and Iran will not build any new heavy water reactors for at least 50 years. Iran will also not be able to acquire the enriched uranium that could be used for a bomb. As soon as this deal is implemented, Iran will remove two-thirds of its centrifuges. For the next decade, Iran will not enrich uranium with its more advanced centrifuges. Iran will not enrich uranium at the previously undisclosed Fordow facility, which is buried deep underground, for at least 15 years. Iran will get rid of 98% of its stockpile of enriched uranium, which is currently enough for up to 10 nuclear bombs. For the next 15 years. Even after those 15 years have passed, Iran will never have the right to use a peaceful program as cover to pursue a weapon. Just as we struck agreements with the Soviet Union at a time when they were threatening our allies, arming proxies against us, proclaiming their commitment to destroy our way of life, and had nuclear weapons pointed and all of our major cities, a genuine existential threat. You know, we live in a complicated world. A world in which the forces unleashed by human innovation are creating opportunities for our children that were unimaginable for most of human history. It is also a world of persistent threats. A world in which mass violence and cruelty is all too common. And human innovation risks the destruction of all that we hold dear. In this world, the United States of America remains the most powerful nation on earth. I believe that we will remain such for decades to come. But we are one nation among many. And what separates us from the empires of old, what has made us exceptional, is not the mere fact of our military might. Since World War II, the deadliest war in human history, we have used our power to try to bind nations together in a system of international law. We have led an evolution of those human institutions President Kennedy spoke about to prevent the spread of deadly weapons, to uphold peace and security, and promote human progress. We now have the opportunity to build on that progress. We've built a coalition and held it together through sanctions and negotiations. Now we have before us a solution that prevents Iran from obtaining a nuclear weapon without resorting to war. As Americans, we should be proud of this achievement. And as members of Congress reflect on their pending decision, I urge them to set aside political shut out the noise. Consider the stakes involved with the vote that you will cast. If Congress kills this deal, we will lose more than just constraints on Iran's nuclear program or the sanctions we have painstakingly built. We will have lost something more precious: America's credibility as a leader of diplomacy, America's credibility as the anchor of the international system. John F. Kennedy cautioned here more than 50 years ago at this university that the pursuit of peace is not as dramatic as the pursuit of war. But it's so very important. It is surely the pursuit of peace that is most needed in this world so full of strife. My fellow Americans, contact your representatives in Congress. Remind them of who we are. Remind them of what is best in us, what we stand for, so that we can leave behind a world that is more secure and more peaceful for our children. Thank you very much.